3 for literally months. But beautiful passage tonight, verse 32. The Bible says, "And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." So God is true. What a beautiful truth. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom as we look to your word tonight and teach us through it. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. What he hath seen and heard. Jesus Christ came down from heaven for us. Praise the Lord. And so we can't even comprehend what the Creator of the universe has seen and heard, can we? But the Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus Christ. That was in John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Bible says that for the most part, people had not received his testimony. And if you go to Romans 10, 16, sure enough, actually Romans 10, 14, this is in line with what we read last week, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And so people reject the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ because of sin. Romans 10, where am I here? Wrong book. I'm thinking too far ahead. Romans 10, 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of great good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" So God is making it clear that the gospel needs to be preached by man, and we need to go and preach the gospel all around the world, but not all will obey the gospel even after they hear it. And that's what Christ is saying, that not all will obey, not all will listen. You know, the Bible says at the end of Paul's ministry in Acts 28, some believe the things which are spoken and some believe not. And here we have the perfect Son of God preaching the perfect Word of God, and man for the most part is rejecting him and even nailed him to a cross. And so we shouldn't be surprised to find that 2,000 years later, truth is still the issue. Amen? That Jesus Christ is true and has given us the truth, and man would rather have a different truth than the only truth. And that's the focus of this passage. So verse 33 of our passage, John 3, "He that hath received his testimony," praise God, that's you and I. We've heard the testimony of Jesus Christ and we have received it. We've received the truth of the gospel. Jesus said in John 15, "I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you," in John 15, 15. And so what is this testimony? Verse 33, "He hath set to his seal that God is true." God is true. What a statement. Go to Romans 3, please. Verse 4. Bible says, "God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged." Let God be true, but every man a liar. The issue today has always been the issue, and that's sin, and, of course, authority. The authority of the Word of God gives us the definition of sin. It gives us the explanation of God, His creation, His righteousness, His holiness, our need for salvation from our sin. That all comes from God's Word, the truth. And of course, Jesus is truth. And there is only one truth, isn't there? And that's where we get into trouble with the world. Because in universities today, there's only one truth that is uniformly agreed upon in universities, and that is that there is no absolute truth. That's the one thing they all agree on. That truth is relative. Unfortunately, they're wrong. because God is true. If you go to 1 John 5:20, we'll see this. And so we, as human beings, have a choice to make. We can either believe we have a creator and he chose to reveal his will to his creation, and he did it through the avenue of his word. We have to take that by faith. But what's the alternative? You see, that's the problem, isn't it? What's the alternative? If we don't go down the path of saying, I know there's a creator because my conscience tells me so, and I believe that my creator loved and cared enough about me to write his will down, and he's given it to me in this book, then we're heading down the path of trying to find truth, which most people are. But if we don't go down that path, what's the other path? Man looks for truth, and he's not going to find it. Sadly, 1 John 5:20, we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. I love this verse because the word true is in there three times. So it's saying it's true that we know him, it's true that we are in him, and that he is truth. And we know Jesus told us, didn't he? John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he not only gave us truth, he is truth. So there is only one authority, that's the word. Go to Luke 16. And this is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. You know it quite well. But when the rich man asked Abraham to send someone back to speak to his brothers from this place of torment, look at his answer, Luke 16, 29. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear then. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Someone did rise from the dead. Amen. His name is Jesus Christ. And do people believe wholesale? No. It's a struggle to get people to believe, isn't it? And sadly, the very truth that they are rejecting is the truth that they will be judged by. Go to John 12:48 and we'll see this. And that is the truth that God wrote down for us in his word. John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So the very truth that the world pretty much rejects is what they will be judged by. How sad is that? The truth of the word of God. And so the truth is the only way, but even as Christians, we need to be careful that we maintain this belief that God is true and that God is the source of all truth. Otherwise, we can head down a very dangerous path. Take, for example, the charismatics and their emphasis on experience. Dreams and experiences, tongues, whatever. Oftentimes, those things will take a higher level of authority than the word itself. Because have you ever been tempted to argue against someone's experience? It's pretty impossible to do, isn't it? Because the one thing that all charismatics will agree on is that their experiences are infallible. Think about it. When somebody tells you about a dream they had, or God spoke to them, or God appeared unto them, or whatever, they're not saying, oh, I want to tell you this so that you can evaluate it to see if it's true. They've already decided it's true. And it's infallible. It can't be argued with, right? Because it's an experience that they had, so it obviously is true. So that's very dangerous. And yet, doesn't God tell us to try the spirits, whether they are of God, 1 John 4:1? So even as Christians, we've got to be careful that we always maintain this. God is true. And God's word is true. Our experiences, not so much. We can't trust them. All right, can we trust our hearts? Okay, how many times have you heard a Christian say, I had a peace about it? Raise your hand. If you've never heard it, don't raise your hand. If you have heard the phrase, I had a peace about it, or I have a peace about it, okay. What is that really saying? I felt good. Right? I felt good. I felt comfortable in my heart or whatever. Nothing about God led me through His Word, but I just had a peace about it. And how many times have even we ourselves done something where we just felt right about it and we did it and we found out later that was definitely a wrong decision. But we felt good about it. But the Bible says, Jeremiah 10:23, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man that walketh the direct his steps. We don't know. So if God isn't leading us, we're in trouble. Because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we've got to be careful about this experience being an authority in our lives. Experience is not authoritative. But then Jesus said, go to Matthew 7:13. Let's look at Mark 7, actually, in verse 13. Has anybody ever heard the word tradition before? How many churches do things based on tradition? Think about it. What is tradition? It's what's been handed down. Jesus said, Mark 7:13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered. We've got to be so careful that we don't do things based on tradition, that we do them based solely on the word, because that's the truth. Tradition is not true. Tradition is something that man has been doing over and over and passing down to the point that it becomes a tradition. But does that make it right? It just makes it a tradition. So we have to be careful there too. Then you get the Mormons who base their entire belief system on what? An angel. An angel named Moroni came down. This is hypothetical. This is not verified in any way. And spoke to a man who was a bit of a schizophrenic and womanizer. And supposedly gave him some special glasses and showed him some special golden plates that were buried in a particular spot. And he was allowed to be able to read those plates. And then he wrote a book. But then, of course, the plates disappeared and so did the glasses. But then he wrote a book based on what this angel showed him. That's called the Book of Mormon. Paul said in Galatians 1, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you. So Paul even included an angel from heaven. He didn't say an angel from hell. He said an angel from heaven. Even if an angel from heaven comes down and gives you a different gospel, says let him be accursed. Isn't that interesting? So we can't even trust that. How about signs? Let's look at Deuteronomy 13. Because let me tell you, if the Lord tarries, I would estimate that we're just going to see more and more quote-unquote spiritual signs, and I use little s when I use that word spiritual. More statues of Mary crying real tears of blood, and we'll be seeing more and more of that. And there will be heaps of it during the tribulation period, but praise God, we don't have to be here for that. But notice Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign of the wonder come to pass, where if he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, I want you to see that in this passage, this prophet gave a sign or a wonder, and it did come to pass. It's important that you note that in verse 2. Because in other places, he tells how to spot a false prophet. He says, if they give a prophecy and it doesn't happen, that's obvious. Just kill the guy because he's a false prophet. That's simple. That's not. This is saying this guy actually gave a sign or a wonder, and it says the sign of the wonder came to pass. So he worked a genuine sign or wonder, but He was using it to say, let's go away from the God of the Bible. And we're going to see more and more of this, and there will be heaps of it during the tribulation, where Jesus said there will be false Christs and they shall show great signs and wonders. Not to lead people to God, but to lead people to the devil, the Antichrist. So we can't trust signs, we can't trust angels, we can't trust experience, we can't trust our own hearts, we can't trust tradition, and we could go on and on. We can only trust the truth. Amen? That's God's word. So we have to be careful. So I'll go one step further. If the issue is authority, which it has been since Genesis chapter 3, when the devil said, yea, hath God said? Did God really mean that, Eve? I mean, I know he said you would die, but that's not really what he meant. Let me help you out here. Let me tell you what God really meant. What he really meant was that he doesn't love you, because he doesn't want you to have all that amazing knowledge that you'll get if you eat of that tree. So you won't die. And look how good the fruit looks. You might as well just try it. Did they die when they ate like God said they would? Absolutely. Did they physically die? No. But in the Bible, very rarely is death talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death, separation from God. We see the dead, small and great, standing before God in Revelation 20. How can the dead stand before God? Because it's not talking about our bodies. It's talking about our spiritual condition. Separated from God is dead. Connected to God is alive. So the devil was wrong. He lied. He's been lying ever since. So if authority is the issue, believe it or not, it can even become an issue among Christianity. In the sense that we can be led down this path of thinking that the true authority lies with the scholars. You know what I mean? Well, I know that's what the Bible says, but I need to go see what the scholars say. I need them to fix this word, this verse for me, because I don't like what it says. It doesn't line up with what I want it to say or what I've been taught. So I need to go read what the scholars have to say about it. And of course, there's, take your pick. There's going to be hundreds of scholars. The implication there is that if we don't have a big education in Greek or Hebrew, therefore we're not as able as them to understand the book. But that's, of course, a lie, because it's about the Holy Spirit, isn't it? It's not about scholar abilities. It's about the Holy Spirit. So we have to be careful as well to say, you know what? God knew what he was doing. God gave me his word, and I'm going to trust it. And if God's going to penalize us when we get to heaven for just believing his word is perfect, I'm okay with that. But I don't want to get to heaven and say to God, well, you know, I kept correcting it, and because I knew it had a lot of errors that you allowed men to put in there over the years. And so, you know, I had to fix it for you, God. Think we're going to say it at the judgment seat? No. Matter of fact, he told us not to do that in Revelation 22. So, I said all this to say God is true, amen? And he's revealed that truth in his word. He hasn't revealed it in any other place but through the person of Christ, who is not with us physically now, who is the physical word, and he's given us his written word, which are synonymous with Christ. If you go back to our passage, I know we spent a lot of time there at verse 33, John 3, but he says, God is true, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. So Jesus here is establishing to the multitudes at the beginning of his ministry, or John is, I'm sorry, that Jesus Christ is the truth and gives the truth. And then man has a choice to accept or reject the truth. But sadly, a lot of people reject it without, how do I say this? They covertly reject it. In other words, they say they believe it, but then they constantly ignore it, change it, disobey it. We could go on. Is it truth or is it not truth? So let's go to 1 John 1:1, just a couple more verses. And so what God is saying is that Jesus Christ is the truth and that he gave us the truth. 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. That was from the beginning. That's Jesus. And then go to Revelation 19:13. This is the return of Christ to the earth at the end of the tribulation period to set up his kingdom. He comes on a white horse. He has a two-edged sword that comes out of his mouth, which he'll smite the nations with. But notice 19:13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's Jesus. And that's why John wrote his gospel, to introduce verse 1. Chapter 1, in the beginning was what? The Word. He wrote the book to introduce the person of Christ as the only solution to our sin problem. That's why the two common words are the words believe and life. Believe on Jesus as the Word and he will give you everlasting life. But you have to believe that he is the truth and that he's given us his truth. And you'll go a long way. As I remember an old preacher saying, the way to just keep learning is to keep pleading ignorance. Don't ever feel like you've learned it all, because you haven't. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. 1 Corinthians 8:2. God is true. Amen? Remember that. So give the word when you are talking to the lost. It is the truth. It is powerful. And then they have a choice. Accept or reject the truth of the word of God. But it's what they will be judged by. As we saw in John 12:48. God is true. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word.